Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. Tonight we bring you the conclusion of our two-part Christmas special, based on a short story by Meredith Nicholson called A Reversible Santa Claus. In keeping with our traditions, the Maplewood Barn Radio players have chosen a little-known tale as our Christmas present to you. Last week we met the Hopper, a burglar who was trying to go straight. On this Christmas Eve, though, he had slipped from the straight and narrow, stealing a bill book from a man on a train. Then, to get out of the bad weather, Hopper and his friend Lumpy heisted a roadster, only to find that there was a baby in the back seat, an accidental kidnapping. He was such a happy little guy, they soon took a liking to him and nicknamed him Shaver. Some time ago, Hopper had bought Happy Hills Farm, where they raised chickens to generate a legitimate income. When Hopper and Lumpy returned home with a stolen roadster and a kidnapped child, Hopper's wife, Weeping Mary, was upset with Hopper's backslide into thievery. But they took good care of Shaver, feeding him and putting him to bed. Hopper made the decision to return to the house where the roadster had been taken, only to be caught inside by the lady of the house, Muriel Talbot. Surmising that Hopper might be a professional burglar, Muriel thought he might be able to help her family settle their quarrels and enjoy Christmas Eve. Muriel's father, Mr. Wilton, and her father-in-law were both collectors of ancient ceramics and potteries, and they had been fighting bitterly over two recently acquired pieces. Where we left the story last week, Muriel had just asked the Hopper to steal two rare and valuable vases. Now we hope you enjoy the conclusion of The Reversible Santa Claus by Meredith Nicholson.
That's what I need you to do. You have to steal both vases for me.
But ma'am, I am not in that business anymore.
Of course, it won't be stealing in the ordinary sense. What I want you to do is play the part of what we will call a reversible Santa Claus, who takes things away from stupid people who don't really enjoy them and gives them to people who will.
A reversible Santa Claus. I like that.
And maybe if they lost those things, they'd behave themselves. Afterward, I would explain that it was all my fault, and I wouldn't let any harm come to you. I'd take full responsibility. Now I'm trusting you. Can you trust me?
Oh, I'd trust you, miss. And if I was to get nabbed, I wouldn't squeal on you. I won't blab on a pal, miss. Never.
We understand each other, then. The theft won't be very difficult, because Mr. Talbot's house is right next to my father's, over by the Sound, so you wouldn't have to go too far. Father keeps most of his valuable glazes in a safe in the pantry, but I can give you the combination. That will make it a lot easier.
Yes, ma'am. Having the combination makes it a lot easier.
Mr. Talbot keeps his finest pieces in a cabinet built into the bookshelves in his library. Look for the works of Thomas Carlyle. They're not books, not really, but just the backs of books painted on a safe. And if you press a spring in the upper right-hand corner of the shelf just over these books, the whole section swings out. I suppose you've seen that sort of hiding place for valuables.
Well, not exactly, miss, but having a tip helps.
Here, let me write it down for you. This is the combination to pop a safe. There's a window with a broken catch in the conservatory. I noticed it today when I was thinking about stealing the jar myself. All right. Now, this is the diagram of my father's house, and this is the layout of my father-in-law's house. There's a French window on the veranda where you can get in. Papa's a sound sleeper, but you'll have to be careful at Mr. Talbot's. He suffers from insomnia and tends to wander his house at night.
They got any fancy burglar alarms?
Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. There's nothing like that at Mr. Talbot's, but at Papa's there's a switch in the living room, right back of a marble bust. You turn it off there, and be careful about stumbling over that bearskin rug in the hall. People are always sticking their feet into its jaws.
I'll look out for it, miss. So at the one house, I'm supposed to filch a blue and white thing?
Yes, about this big.
And at the other house, a red thing?
Yes, shaped like this. Oh, listen, if you think you might make a mistake, I can go with you.
Oh, no, miss. You couldn't do that.
And now, I haven't said anything about, what we might call a reward for bringing me these porcelains, I will pay you. I wouldn't think of you working for nothing.
Miss, I couldn't take a reward for it. It was sort of an accident that we met. And besides, I'm not a housebreaker. Not on a regular basis, anyway. I'll be glad to do it for you, miss. Now, if you please, miss, I need my,
Oh, yes, certainly. Your revolver. You may take it, but you won't kill anybody, will you?
No, miss. I just feel better with it when I'm on a job.
I'm only doing this because I hope something good will come of it. It isn't really criminal, you know. If you succeed, it may be the happiest Christmas I've had in a long time.
Yes, miss. I won't come back till morning, but don't worry. I'll play it safe, and if I get the jugs, I'll get them back to you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you ever so much, and good luck.
In my new role as the reversible Santa Claus, I entered the Wilton estate through a gate set in a stone wall. The night was cold and clear, with the stars proclaiming peace and goodwill among jug collectors. I thought to myself, there's things what is and things what ain't, and found comfort in the words. The conservatory was right where Muriel had said, and getting in was just as easy as she had made it sound. I quickly found a safe hidden away in one of the cupboards. I twirled in the combination. The handle caught, and the door swung open. And there were shelves filled with vases, bottles, bowls, and plates. It just looked like another china cupboard to me. There was no mistaking the red jug that Muriel had described. I lifted it out tenderly and set it down on the floor. Then, just as I was closing up the safe, I heard a noise. The creaking stair step brought me up short. Someone was descending, slowly and cautiously. I pressed back into the shadows, wondering if another burglar might be in the house. When he came into view, the face matched the picture that had been on Muriel's mantle. It was Mr. Wilton himself, Muriel's father. But why was he prowling around like this? Wilton's figure was a blur in the starlight as he quietly stepped out the door and started slinking across the yard. I followed as he cut across the yard toward what must have been the Talbot place, according to Muriel's diagrams. He took out a jimmy, just like mine, and popped the latch on a window like a pro. The window slid up easily, and he was inside. Creeping up after him, I put the red jug in a nice soft pile of snow and went to the window to watch the action. Wilton knew what he was doing. That was plain to see. He was casing the place. And then it hit me. He was trying to purloin, extract, and remove the blue and white vase for himself. This was not part of the plan. He must have known all about the safe hidden behind the works of Thomas Carlyle, because he made a beeline to it and had the panel open in no time. Just like at his house, there were rows and rows of jugs and vases and all kinds of dishes. Didn't look like much to me, but these fellows were dead serious about it, apparently. And just as Wilton was taking the blue and white vase out of the safe, the lights came on in the library.
Ah! Wilton! What are you doing in my house, you thief? Get out of here!
Shut up, Talbot. This vase should have been mine.
Roger, come help me with this thief!
What is going on, Father?
He's a thief! A thief!
Shut up! It's mine!
Stop it, you two! Have you both lost your minds?
As I watched the fight, my eye fell to the blue and white vase lying on the carpet, which had rolled to a spot just a few yards away. The two old guys were rolling around, and the chubby one had the skinny one in a headlock. That's when inspiration struck. I dove through the window, grabbed a blue vase, and was back out before you could say,
"Stop, thief!"
I landed in a cloud of shattered glass. Shaver's father had just missed me. I scooped up the red vase out of the snow and ran for the highway, the blue and white vase under one arm and the red one under the other. Shaver's father kept shooting at me until I turned a corner. After a few blocks, I stopped to catch my breath and found an old box and some paper that I used to carefully wrap up the loot. There was a bicycle under a shed, and I tied the box to the back. Here I was, hauling what Muriel called
pottery pieces that represent the highest genius of the Orient
in a cardboard box riding an old bicycle on this cold Christmas Eve. While I was pedaling through New Haven, two policemen were standing on a street, and we exchanged Christmas greetings. Little did they know that I was actually the reversible Santa Claus.
There you are. We've been worried about you. It's after 3.
Yeah, I've been busy.
What you got now? You ain't gone and done it again, have you?
I sure done it all right. How's the kid?
The kid's just fine. Sleeping nice and sound over in your bed. Now, what's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the box?
Lumpy, you get back away from that box before you bust something. Get back. I'll show you. Here. Now, this is what you might call a blue and white vase. Pretty, ain't it? And this here is what you might call a red vase. And I got them both through just fine. Not so much as a chip on either of them.
So you've been stealing again?
No, it wasn't stealing. At least not stealing in the normal sense. I did it for Shaver's mother, Muriel.
Shaver's mother? What's she got to do with anything?
Seems that her father and her father-in-law both love vases like these and were fighting over them.
Fighting over vases?
People are willing to pay mints for them things. They are more valuable than diamonds. Only educated folks knows about them, I guess. They were made thousands of years back, and there ain't never going to be any more jugs like them. And Muriel's father and father-in-law spend all their time chasing things like them. There were shelves of this kind of stuff in both houses.
And you stole 2 of them? What were you thinking?
I guess I got myself into it, and I guess I'll get myself out.
But why did you do it? Why have you taken to stealing again? We're out of that business, remember?
The lady got me to do it. If I get pinched, she's in for it, too. And I saw her pop breaking into a house, and I'd probably be a state's witness for that. They won't say much about kidnapping with the kids safe and us picking them up out of the road and sheltering them. These folks are going to be real nice to the hopper for all I've done.
But what about the bill book you took?
Now, that was a mistake, I grant you. It was a mistake of judgment on my part. You all just lay off, and I'm going to keep playing the honesty card. But there's something kind of funny about that. I can't quite put my finger on it.
What about the kid?
We ought to do something to give Shaver a decent Christmas. It ain't fair for a kid to wake up and think Santa missed him.
You're right, Hop. I got some candy.
And I still got some popcorn from last night.
Good. Let's get his stockings and stuff them full. That's it. Now, what else we got for him?
Well, we got that extra revolver.
Lumpy!
I know. We ought to make colored eggs for him. Some yellow and pink eggs would be just the ticket.
Eggs ain't proper for Christmas. Eggs are for Easter.
She's right, Hop. When I was chicken supervisor at the penitentiary in Missouri, there was always people wanting eggs in the spring for Easter.
I guess the colored eggs ain't really appropriate, then.
What you need to be concentrating on is to getting rid of them vases and the kid. Before the police show up and haul us off.
Okay, Mary. I guess Muriel will be glad to see me. We understand each other. There's things what is and things what ain't. And the hopper ain't gonna spend Christmas in jail. It's the honesty card. Nothing but poultry and eggs.
Morning.
Oh, looky there. The little Shaver's awake.
Here, look what Santa brought you. Your stockings are full.
Oh, boy. This is great. Candy. Popcorn.
He is cute, ain't he?
Oh, he sure is. He's got a soft spot in my heart. Now, Mary, you get him ready to go. And Lumpy, run down to the chicken coop and get him a few chicks to take home as pets.
I'll be right back.
Shaver was tickled with his Christmas stockings. Lumpy brought in the chicks, and they climbed all over Shaver's legs and made him laugh. When he was ready to go, I put him in the roadster with his box of chicks, and he said,
"Me's taking to me grandpa's. Chickies for me's 2 grandpas."
This reminded me that the last time I had seen Shaver's 2 grandpas, they had been rolling around on the floor like schoolboys. As I pulled away from Happy Hill Farm with the missing kid and a fortune in pottery, I was on high alert. The police had probably been notified about the missing kid, so I took the back roads to the house where it had all started. Shaver seemed happy with the ride, babbling the whole way.
Merry Christmas! Me's going to see me's grandpa's Christmas tree!
When we approached the house, I saw 2 big limousines in the driveway, which made me nervous. We got out, and I was holding Shaver's hand on one side, and a box of aces on the other, and we went to the kitchen door. The moment we stepped into the house, we heard an argument.
I tell you, it's John Wilton who's stolen Billy. Anybody who could enter his neighbor's house in the dead of night and try to rob him and murder him in the most brutal fashion wouldn't think twice about stealing his own grandchild.
Me's Grandpa, and him's mad.
You talk about my stealing when you robbed me of my red Langyao vase, bribed my servants to plunder my safe. I want you to understand once and for all, Talbot. And if that jar isn't returned within one hour, sir, I will turn you over to the police.
What, you liar? You can't mitigate your foul crime by charging me with another. I never saw your stupid jar. I never wanted it. I wouldn't have that thing in my house.
How can you talk of these silly vases when Billy's lost? Billy's been stolen, and you two men can think of nothing but your precious ceramics.
Mama's quiet. Grandpa's hurting Mama.
You trot right in there to your Mama, Shaver. Old Hop ain't gonna let him hurt you.
I have been wrong, and I will have my revenge!
Please sit down, Father, and let's talk about this rationally.
Let go of me, Muriel. I'm going to give that old scoundrel what he deserves.
No, Papa. I'm sure he never meant to hurt you. It's all a terrible mistake.
He had an accomplice, and while he was trying to kill me, there in my own house, the plum blossom vase was carried off by his hireling. And if Roger hadn't shot at him...
Look! It's Billy! He's come back! Oh, Billy!
Oh, thank heaven! Our prayers are answered.
Me's got two chickies for Christmas.
How are you, my boy?
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Who's that standing in the kitchen?
It's you. You came back.
Yes'm.
You brought the boy back. You're the kidnapper.
Roger, don't speak to him like that. I'm sure this gentleman can explain everything.
He's a kidnapper. I'm calling the law.
He is.
Maybe it was kidnapping, and maybe it wasn't. I live over on Shell Road. Poultry and eggs is my line. Happy Hill Farm. Stevens the name. Charles S. Stevens. And I found Shaver. Excuse me, but it seemed like a sort of natural nickname for him. I found him sitting in the car over there by my place. Chipper as you please. I took him into my house and Mary, that's the missus, she gave him supper and put him to bed. And we thought maybe somebody would come along asking for him. And then this morning, when nobody showed up, I called the New Haven police, and they told me about you folks. And me and Shaver came right over.
That's wonderful of you, Mr. Stevens. Won't you please sit down and join us?
Most remarkable. Some scoundrelly tramp picked up the car, and finding there was a baby inside, left it on the roadside like some kind of brute.
Son, can you tell us about the man who took you?
Christmas tree. Pretty.
Yes, that is a very pretty Christmas tree. It looks like Shaver only has one thing on his mind, and that's enjoying Christmas.
It was nice, Mans. It was that Billy play with him's watch.
Here, little buddy. Do you need help putting those animals back in the ark? Let me show you.
Well, at least he's home safe.
Yeah, it is a relief to have little Billy back. But every bad thing that can happen to a man happened to me yesterday. Wasn't enough this... Cad robbed me and tried to murder me. Yes, you did, sir. But while I was on the train, I was robbed. A pickpocket. He took my bill book. It had some invaluable data I had just received from my agent in China. Then you sent your hireling to burglarize my house.
You are insane. You have completely lost your
mind.
Don't
you try to deny it, and don't you contradict me.
Shaver, go fetch your chickies out of the kitchen. Bring them in here and put them in the boat.
Okay.
I beg your pardon, gents, but maybe this is the book you're looking for? I picked it up on a train yesterday afternoon. I was going to turn it in at the station, but I forgot about it.
Give me that. This is mine. Look, it's all here. All the data is intact. Oh, thank heavens.
Billy got chickies. Billy's got pretty dishes. Billy made dishes go uppity.
Oh, no, little Shaver. Just give those to me, nice and gentle. That's it. Thank you. I understand both of you have been looking for these.
My God,
It's them!
Excuse me, gents. Don't crowd. Now, both of you listen to me. I'm going to tell you about this crockery. I stole them for the lady there. She thought if you didn't have them anymore, you'd stop fighting over them. You can call the cops and have me arrested if you like. But I ain't going to tolerate any more fussing and causing the lady all this heartache on Christmas Day. I ain't gonna stand for it.
You're a liar. You robber, you entered my house at the insistence of this man.
I never saw him before, and I don't know either of you.
He's telling the truth. I did it. I talked him into taking them.
Now, both of you, just stand back. Those vases both look beautiful under the Christmas tree, right where they are.
Here, just let me...
I must have them.
If you don't sit down, the two of you, I'll smash them. I'll smash them both. I'll bust them to pieces, sure as you're standing there. And you're going to stop all this fussing, because you ain't even going to have these pretty jugs to fight about anymore. I'm going to give them away. See? I'm a reversible Santa Claus. I take stuff away from people who shouldn't have them, and I give them to those that should. So, I'm going to make a Christmas present of them to Shaver, right here and now, all peaceable, or I'll tromp on them to bits. Looky here, Shaver. Looky what Santa brought you.
Nice dude, Santa Claus.
It looks as though Muriel and her friend here have cornered us. The idea of pooling our trophies and giving them as Christmas presents to Billy appeals to me. And besides, we've got to prepare somebody to love these things after we're gone. We can work together and train Billy to the greatest collector in America.
Please, Father.
Well, I guess it's all in the family anyway.
All right. Well, it looks like my work here is done. I guess I'll be heading back.
We'll take you home.
Oh, yeah. Your car's at the back gate, just like I found her. But I can take the trolley back.
We wouldn't hear of it. Roger, will you take him home? And we want you to come back this afternoon so we can thank you properly.
Ma'am, there's things what is and there's things what ain't. Circumstantial evidence sends lots of men to the chair. It's a lot happier to play the honesty card. When you asked me to steal those jugs, I hadn't the heart to refuse you, miss. And it being Christmas and all.
Then you must come back this afternoon.
Oh, no, miss. There's no need to make a fuss over it. I was trying to get rid of all the fusses.
Then we'll drop by Happy Hills Farm. I feel I owe you so much.
I'll be glad to see you. But no more housebreaking schemes. It's mighty dangerous for amateurs like your pa and me.
No more housebreaking, I promise.
Mary was not wholly pleased at the prospect of visitors, but she fell to work with Lumpy to put the house in order. At 5 o'clock, not one, but three automobiles drove up into the yard.
What if it's the cops? Looks like it's the cops.
It ain't the cops, Lumpy. It's the Talbots and the Wiltons come to visit. Looks like the old gents are getting along fine. Hello, and Merry Christmas. Come in, all of yous. Thanks for dropping by. This is Mary, the missus, and this is our farm manager, Lumpy.
We're on our way to Father's house, then Mr. Talbot's for more Christmas celebrations.
Oh, glad you came by. Welcome, everyone. How are you doing, little Shaver?
Santa Claus, Chickie's Christmas tree, pretty.
And so you're only an honest chicken farmer after all. I'd hoped you really were a burglar. I always wanted to know a burglar.
I hate to disappoint you.
Of course, it was very foolish for a man of your character to allow a young woman like my daughter to bully you into robbing houses. Why? When Roger fired at you, he didn't miss you by more than a foot. You could have been killed.
Well, I started it all by going into the little house looking for Shaver's folks.
But you haven't told us how you came to find our house.
Well, it just looked like a house that Shaver would belong to.
I don't think we'd better begin trying to establish alibis. Everything has turned out splendidly, and that's what counts. Why, if Mr. Stevens hadn't been so honorable about everything, he could make it very ugly for me.
I shudder to think what he might say about me.
And the main thing is that Mr. Stevens has done a huge favor for all of us. He's made us see how foolish it is to quarrel over these mere baubles. He found a solution to all our troubles, and I, for one, believe his solution is entirely satisfactory.
Quite right. If I ever have any delicate business negotiations in the future, I'm going to call on Mr. Stevens to handle them.
Well, my business is hens and eggs, and we're doing pretty well. I'm just glad I could help.
Muriel, we should be getting along.
Oh, yes. We can't stay. But we won't forget what you have done for us. We're going to buy all our chickens and eggs from you from now on.
Well, here's my business card. See, it's even got my name on it. Happy Hills Farms, for all your chicken and egg needs.
Yes, very impressive. Well, thank you again, Mr. Stevens. Would you like to carry Billy to the car?
I'd be proud to halt a little shaver. Come here, you scamp.
Bye.
Thanks for coming.
Bye.
It's good to see you all.
See you soon.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well, I guess that takes care of that.
That's what I call nice folks. They just put us on and wore us like a pair of old slippers.
They weren't highbrow, not to speak of. I guess that girl's got more gumption than any of them. She got them straightened up now, and I think she'll make sure they don't cut up no more over that glass stuff. Her husband seems sort of gentle-like.
Artists are that way. I just been thinking that knowing folks like that and finding them human, making mistakes like the rest of us, kind of makes it seem easier for us all to play the game straight. It's going to be the honesty card for me from now on. Just chickens and eggs. And let's hope the cops never find out we're settled here.
Wait a minute. There's two envelopes on the mantle.
Here, give them to me. Ah, there's checks in each of them. Both for $1,000. One from Talbot and one from Wilton. Down in the memo section, they both say, Merry Christmas.
I reckon they could spare it, after all you done for them, Hop.
They're millionaires, and money doesn't mean anything to them.
We can buy a motor truck to haul our stuff to town, and maybe we can build a new shed to keep it in.
There's things what is and things what ain't. None of us ever got anywhere being crooked. It's the straight and narrow for us from now on.
He's got religion. That's what he's got.
Oh, maybe it's religion, and maybe it's just common sense. There was a chaplain in the Minnesota Pen that used to say, if we're all square with ourselves, we can be square with everybody else. I guess I got a lot of squaring to do. And all these things happening on Christmas, and Little Shaver and his ma being so nice, and her getting me to help straighten out them old gents, it seems like more than just luck. It's providence. That's what it is.
Oh, I feel like I'm gonna die. You ain't never gonna be the same, Hop.
You're right there, Lumpy. I sure ain't.
And on that note of repentance and redemption, we leave the Hopper to his new life of honor, integrity, and truthfulness, and wish him the very best in his poultry business. We hope you've enjoyed this two-part presentation of Meredith Nicholson's short story, A Reversible Santa Claus, adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. This has been a presentation of the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Our players were Steve Jones as the Hopper, Jeff Martin played Lumpy, Tracy Jones portrayed Muriel, Darren Helwidge played Mr. Talbot, Pat Humphrey was Weeping Mary, and Brad Buchanan played Roger, with a special appearance by Molly Dodge as Shaver. Darren Helwidge was our sound engineer, and post-production sound effects are provided by Amy Humphrey and Joe Hayes of the band Clatter. Please join us again at the same time next week for another classic story by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players, right here on KBIA. Merry Christmas and best wishes for a Happy New Year.